Hello, welcome to your daily briefing, October the 6th, 2019. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you continue to give us the wisdom that is needed so that we might walk according to your will and follow you closely. We ask today that as we continue our study, our hearts will find the truth and lay hold upon it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have been talking about the far evangelical right in America and the rest of the world. Today I'd like to include an article here that reveals a connection that I'm sure you are aware of. The article is found in the National Catholic Reporter. The publication date was July the 8th, 2015. That's 2015. And the writer of the article is Jamie Manson. Last name spelled M-A-N-S-O-N. The title of the article is Pope Francis's Deep Ties to Evangelicals. The title again, Pope Francis's Deep Ties to Evangelicals. Here's the article. When the World Meeting of Families announced its roster of speakers for its September meeting in Philadelphia, some were surprised to see Rick Warren's name among the invitees. Warren is one of the leading Christian evangelical voices in the United States, and the World Meeting of Families, which is sponsored by the Holy See's Pontifical Council for the Family, and is the world's largest Catholic gathering of families. Warren will join Cardinal Sean O'Malley in offering a shared keynote address titled, The Joy of the Gospel of Life. Of course, this isn't Warren's first turn on a Vatican-sponsored stage. Back in November, he was invited to address the biblical meaning of marriage at the Vatican's Complementary of Man and Women, an international colloquium. When Warren defended the one-man, one-woman definition of marriage at the conference, Irish Independent columnist David Quinn tweeted, "Probably the first time ever the Synod Hall resembled a revivalist meeting." Austin Everath also commented on Warren's reception inside the Vatican, tweeting, "Standing ovation. Quite a preacher." Warren wasn't the sole evangelist from the United States speaking at the Catholic conference. He was joined by Russell Moore, president of the Southern Baptist Ethics and Religious Liberty Commission. And sitting among the participants of the conference was Tony Perkins, president of the Family Research Council, a group whose anti-LGBT rhetoric is so false that the Southern Poverty Law Center has labeled it a hate group. To the Vatican's credit, Perkins wasn't asked to speak, but he was invited to observe. This isn't Pope Francis' first encounter with the conservative evangelical Christians. Back in March 2013, I reported on Cardinal George Bergoglio, who is, of course, the Pope, his popularity among Argentine evangelicals. The day after his election, a headline at Christianity Today, a conservative Christian magazine, declared, "Argentine evangelicals say the Pope Francis is answer to our prayers." The article wrote, "Relations between evangelicals and Catholics are much better in Argentina than in other Latin American nations. The Pope has played a central role in Argentina's renewal communion of Catholics and evangelicals in the Holy Spirit movement over the past 10 years. It also recounted the Pope's deep support for the Argentine Bible Society. A second Christianity Today article posted the day after Francis' election offered an interview with Luis Palo, a leading evangelical preacher who immigrated to the United States from Argentina 50 years ago. Palo detailed his long-standing friendship with the Pope, saying, "With the evangelical community, it was a very big day when we realized that he really was open, that he has great respect for Bible-believing Christians, and that he basically sides with them." Nearly 2.5 years into his pontificate, Francis continues his embrace of evangelicals, particularly those from the United States. In March 2014, he welcomed the Green family, the Oklahoma billionaires whose company, Hobby Lobby, took their challenge to Obama's contraception mandate to the Supreme Court last week. In the June 2014, he met with televangelist Joel Osteen. According to Religion News Service, Osteen was a part of a larger gathering coordinated by the International Foundation, also known as the Fellowship. Osteen was joined by Utah Senator Mike Lee, a Mormon, California Pastor Tim Timmons, and Gail Beebe, President of Evangelical Westmont College. Francis continued to welcome U.S.-based evangelicals later last month. On June 24, 2014, in a meeting at that RNS said leaned particularly towards charismatic Christianity, the Pope met with Anthony Palmer, a bishop and international ecumenical officer with the Independent Communion of Evangelical Episcopal Churches. Jeff Tunnicliffe, the outgoing head of the Worldwide Evangelical Alliance, and John and Carol Arnott of Catch and the Fire Toronto, which grew out of a Pentecostal revival 20 years ago. If you think these meetings took place during large audiences, think again. The RNS story includes a photo of Pope Francis giving a high five to Texas televangelist James Robinson as they shared a meal, while fellow Texas televangelist Kenneth Copeland was photographed praying over the Pope. While it is true that evangelicals and Catholics share a fundamental belief that Jesus is the Son of God, their theological ties do not run deep, and their traditions differ starkly. They are, of course, currently united in a common mission, which they would call the protection of the family, or the defense of traditional marriage. If there is a set of convictions that Pope Francis and U.S. evangelicals share fervently, it could be summed up like this. Marriage is between one man and one woman. Children must have a mother and a father, and a strict gender role are part of the divine plan for humanity. A quick glance at the list of workshops at the World Meeting of Families makes it clear that these ideas will dominate the conference. Given the Vatican's many friendships with wealthy evangelical power brokers, and given the urgency of their shared cause, it's a wonder Rick Warren was the only evangelical asked to address the meeting. And of course, that's the end of that article, but it shows very clearly the very close personal relationship. And now this is not just an ecumenical relationship, but a close personal relationship that exists between Pope Francis and these men that you see on your television every weekend. There's another article I'd like to share with you. It's found in the Vatican News website. It was published on December the 14th, 2017. The writer of that article is Philippa Hitchen, last name spelled H-H-I-T-C-H-E-N. And the title of the article is Pope Meets Evangelical Leaders to Discuss Religious Freedom. The title again, Pope Meets Evangelical Leaders to Discuss Religious Freedom. As I said before, it's found on the Vatican News website, published December the 14th, 2017, and written by Philippa Hitchen, H-I-T-C-H-E-N. Here's that article. Pope Francis held a private encounter with leaders of the World Evangelical Alliance to discuss closer practical partnerships on crucial issues, including combating the persecution of Christians. Pope Francis met on Thursday with leaders of the World Evangelical Council as they discussed the matter of persecution. They also ventured into the area of religious freedom. The World Evangelical Alliance is a network of Protestant churches in 129 nations, representing more than 600 million evangelical Christians worldwide. Its Secretary General, Bishop Tandero, was leading the delegation to the papal audience, and for talks with the Pontifical Council for promoting Christian unity. He shared with us his hopes for strengthening practical cooperation with Catholics in countries around the globe. Bishop Ephraim says he is bringing to the Pope a call for closer partnership in protecting religious freedom, promoting the distribution of Bibles, and addressing social justice issues. We want to see this world to be a place where peace, justice, and righteousness reign, he says, where everyone has a decent standard of living, and where Jesus Christ is recognized as Lord of all. He notes that the WEA and the Pontifical Council have just completed 7 years of dialogue, culminating in a joint document on scripture and tradition. While major theological differences remain, he says, it's increasingly important to look for a common agenda rather than focus on what differs and what pulls us apart. Prior to his appointment as head of the WEA, Bishop Ephraim served as for over 20 years, National Director of the Philippine Council of Evangelical Churches and as President of the Philippine Relief and Development Services, working to support the poor and needy. In the country which is 80% Roman Catholic, this is the Philippines he's talking about now, he says ecumenical relations are very good, and he was recently asked to address a retreat for the Filipino Bishops' Conference. There's also strong practical cooperation on issues including human trafficking, combating climate change, fighting corruption, promoting peace, and providing relief and development for victims of many typhoons which affect the region. Also attending the papal audience was Reverend Thomas Johnson, the WEA's Religious Freedom Ambassador to the Vatican. He explains why there is an urgent need to join forces to combat the increasing persecution of Christians worldwide. Johnson notes the problem is not confined to one particular area of the globe, but he says the last 3 years may have seen the worst persecution in the whole history of the Christian church. He recalls the important international consultation that took place 2 years ago in the Albanian capital of Tirana on discrimination, persecution, and martyrdom. Representatives of the WEA, the Vatican, the World Council of Churches, and the Pentecostal world discussed ways of responding to the problem in a unified manner. While Johnson admits there are still problems of discrimination between evangelicals and Catholics in some countries, he adds that evangelicals have always been made to feel very welcome in the Vatican. As a philosophy professor and human rights specialist, he is particularly interested in Catholics and evangelicals publishing education material that we develop together. While no one is expected to see any major pronouncements from Thursday's meeting, he says the small steps undertaken together can lead to a broader coalition over the years and reinforce the message that Christians of all varieties need to be protecting each other in the public square. Now that's the end of that article. And as I said before, the article is found in the Vatican News website, published December the 14th, 2017, and written by Philippa Hitchen, H-I-T-C-H-E-N. Now, one of the reasons why I chose these articles is because I want you to see how far back there has been this very close relationship developing between the evangelicals and Catholicism. Today, the agenda that you see being pushed in the United States and the rest of the world by the evangelicals is really a Catholic agenda. And that is one of the reasons why you find that it is merely the evangelicals who are talking, and you don't hear the voices of the Catholics speaking, because they know that their agenda is being pushed. You and I need to understand that God has warned us in advance of the Catholics and the Protestants coming together. This should not surprise you in the least. You should know and understand this by now, that God has told us in advance that all of this will be indeed the way things will go. We ought to be happy that God has warned us in advance so that we can prepare for this. And you and I know that ultimately there will be one group of individuals who will become the marked ones, who will have to stand only in the strength of Christ. That group will be those who keep the commandments of God and have the faith of Jesus. You and I are called to stand by God's word. And long before we were here on this earth, you and I, God has placed within our possession the ability to be prepared for the time to come. He has told us and warned us that we must indeed understand his word, that we must know what we believe and why we believe it, and especially where to find it. We cannot afford to be afraid. We need not be afraid, but we must be informed of the word that God has given. Our hearts will be strengthened, our faith will be increased, and we will be able to stand with him as he stands with us. The coming together has already occurred. Much talk is not made, much information is not given concerning all of the plans that are being made in secret between these two groups, the evangelical far right and the Catholic Church. Sometimes it appears to us that they are still in opposition, but do not be fooled thereby. They have a plan, and the plan is clear. The plan is clear because God has informed us concerning what that plan is. You and I need to be ready. How do we get ready? We get ready by absorbing the truth of God, by practicing the righteousness that he has in his word. Our lives must be hid in him. Our plans must be made by him and followed by us. We cannot afford to allow ourselves to be misled or to be distracted in any way. But we must stand with the God of heaven and earth, who have warned us in advance of what is to come. So today, why not evaluate yourself? Why not ask God to reveal to you the things in your life that need to be changed? Why not spend some real time in studying God's word and praying to him and asking him for the kind of strength that only he can give you? Why not do this? I can assure you that if you do, God has promised to respond. He has promised to give you that which you need, which you can get from no other source. So today, spend some time reading God's word. Read it slowly so that it might be drawn into your heart. And as you read, ask the Holy Spirit to show you how it points to you personally. Ask God to reveal, as I said before, those flaws that you have that need to be changed. And once he has done that, once he has revealed that to you, then ask him to do the changing that needs to be done that you can't do on your own. Fill your heart with the truth. He is willing to give you that which you need most. And today, as you go forward, wear a smile knowing that you have been with Jesus and that you've given yourself over to him once more. We thank you, Heavenly Father, for all that you continue to do. We thank you for the blessings that you bestow upon us each day. We thank you for the warnings that you give. And today, as we come into your presence, we ask that you would do that work for us that we cannot do for ourselves, and give us an attitude of surrender, so that we might indeed be changed according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been your daily briefing, October the 6th, 2019.